You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last night, thousands of Idahoans came together on the Capitol steps in Boise to mourn the lives of Black people killed at the hands of police. The vigil was peaceful and somber at times, with emotional moments as organizers from Black Lives Matter in Boise stood on the Capitol steps.
We'll rise up high like the waves, rise up despite of the ache. We'll rise up and we'll do it together now.
Those crowds, they filled the streets surrounding the Capitol, most wearing black, to commemorate George Floyd. He is the unarmed Black man who was killed in police custody last week. Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Drusen was there. He is joining us live now to tell us more about this gathering. Heath, good to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Gemma.
So you were there last night. Tell us about the scene because there were upwards of what, 1,000 people there?
Oh, I would say quite a bit more. It was a big enough crowd that it was really, I sort of hesitate to guess, but if you know the Capitol, the steps were absolutely packed. The street was packed and closed down, and the crowd went all the way back through that parkland that's around the Capitol and right to the back of it. So I actually have never seen a crowd like that at the Capitol for something like this before. And I know a lot of folks who were at the Women's March a few years ago, a lot of them at this vigil were saying that this might have been even bigger than that.
It certainly seemed like it from pictures. We should note, this was organized by Boise Black Lives Matter. So how did they make clear to people what the point of the gathering was? Because they said this is not a protest. This is a gathering. This is a vigil.
Right. And the organizers did throughout the vigil say that to the attendees. They were saying, you know, there's a time for protest and there's a time for rallies, but they said this is for healing. This is to come together and remember lives lost and to grieve. They're saying that, you know, this is a sort of a therapeutic space to grieve. And it was a really emotional event. You know, they read names one by one of Black men and women who have died, most of them at the hands of police. And they would say, the organizers would say the name and the crowd would say it back. So it was a very emotional time. There were a lot of folks in tears and again, it was, you know, it was somber, it was peaceful. And when it was all over, the organizers also made clear to folks that, hey, you know, please go home quietly, you know, pick up your trash. I mean, it was very organized and very peaceful.
Was there a moment that stood out to you? I mean, you know, we've all covered numerous, you know, rallies, vigils, protests over our career as a journalist, but there seemed to be just an energy in the air last night that I've not witnessed before.
Yeah, there was a lot of energy and there was a lot of unity. You know, it obviously, if you saw the pictures, I mean, it was a crowd from all backgrounds. And I mean, there was one moment, you know, they read names of people who have been killed. And the very last name, of course, was George Floyd. And that moment sticks out because, you know, the crowd really erupted in his name. And then that led into the really moving song that you started this segment with. And I think that was a moment that a lot of people really, I think they were really, really touched by that moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll say also there was, you know, moments of silence for these people who have been killed, and to hear the sound of silence of thousands of people, that was also that was quite emotional for a lot of people, I think.
And we have to note that, I mean, this happened in the middle of the coronavirus still here in our state. I did see a lot of people wearing masks, Heath. Was that, would you say the majority? I mean, but not a lot of social distancing seemed to be happening.
Yeah, and the organizers did acknowledge that there were so many people there that it did kind of become impossible to really do significant social distancing, unfortunately. Most of the people I saw at the vigil did have masks on, and the organizers were encouraging them, saying, please keep your masks on. Basically, they were saying, do the best you can. We realize that keeping 6 feet of distance with this kind of crowd is going to be very difficult. So, yeah, certainly social distancing, that was a challenge there. But people were wearing masks. So it was a mixed bag.
Before I let you go, you did note that at the end of the vigil, the organizers, you know, said leave peacefully, pick up your trash, you know, go home. So that ended about 10 p.m. What do we know, though, about what happened after?
So there was a group of protesters and counter-protesters that that went to the Capitol afterwards and stayed pretty late into the night. I think they didn't disperse till after about 2 a.m. There was a little tension. There were a group of protesters chanting Black Lives Matters, and then there was a group of counter-protesters chanting All Lives Matters, and there were police in between the two. And from what I saw videos, it seemed tense, but there was no violence. It never really went overboard. And then everybody just eventually petered out. Again, I think it was about 2:15 in the morning.
I want to thank you for coming on, Heath, and talking about this event last night in support of racial justice here in our country. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gemma.
And, you know, we are looking for your stories about race in Idaho. Are you a Black or brown person living in our overwhelmingly white state? What is that experience like for you? What do you want your white neighbors to understand about this moment? We want to hear from you. Record a voice memo using your smartphone. You can also write us an email. Send us your stories at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Again, idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we may use those on the air. And while thousands were gathered on the Capitol steps exercising their right to assemble, election officials were actually inside the Capitol building administering the first ever all mail-in election here in Idaho. Paulette Jordan will face off against Senator Jim Risch in November. Representative Brian Zollinger has lost his statehouse seat. And Idaho Congressman Russ Fulcher won a contested Republican primary. Those and many other races came in last night after a long and strange primary election. Jeff Lyons is an assistant professor at the School of Public Service at Boise State, and he's been following these election results. Hi there, Jeff.
Hey, Gemma, thanks for having me.
Well, to say that it's been an odd election season is an understatement, I think. Can we start with Congressman Russ Fulcher? He won over his challenger, Nicholas Jones.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the synopsis you gave was a really good one. It seemed like it might have been a somewhat contested election to start, but certainly Russ Fulcher ends up with a really sizable majority of the votes. So the votes didn't necessarily play out quite as contested as some might have thought from the outset.
What about Republican Representative Brian Zollinger losing his statehouse seat last night? What happened there?
Yeah, so that was probably one of the surprises for me. And I say that just in part because we tend to expect incumbents to win most of the time. And indeed, they did last night. But Brian Zollinger, last session in particular, was sort of at the middle of this controversy and amongst Republicans, in part at the State House, about the issue of medical debt collections, where he was on one side and others, like, you know, Frank Vandersloot, who's amongst the most influential Republicans in the state, took a very strong stance on the other side. You know, we saw Representative Simpson endorsing Zollinger's challenger. So it ended up being a very interesting race, and it was a very close race. So I think Zollinger lost by a couple of percentage points.
And as I noted, Paulette Jordan, she won her Democratic primary. So now she will face off against Senator Jim Risch. How do you think that will play out over the next few months?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, you know, she won overwhelmingly. I think she ended up with about 86% of the vote. So there's a lot of support behind her amongst Democrats in the state. Over the next few months, I would imagine you're going to see a fair amount of money invested in this race, both from Risch and from Paulette Jordan. Paulette Jordan was pretty successful in her gubernatorial campaign a couple years ago at raising outside money. And Jim Risch certainly will be able to do so as well. So I think you're going to see some money flow into the state towards this. But of course, just like Paulette Jordan ran up against in the gubernatorial election, Idaho being a deeply Republican state, the odds are definitely stacked against her.
What races do you think were the most significant in this primary?
You know, I had a lot of questions about who was going to fill some of these big shoes of people in the state legislature who have stepped down, who have chosen not to run again, right? So on both sides of the aisle, we have some really big vacancies that came up, whether it was Brent Hill or Mortimer on the Republican side, right on the Democratic side, Sheree Buckner Webb and Marianne Jordan. And these people are in pretty one-sided seats, right? So really what the votes that came out last night are probably who's going to be in the state house come next January. So I was kind of keeping my eye on some of those in particular. And then as we move forward, I'm going to be really interested to watch some of these seats that were very contested in 2018.
Can we talk about turnout really quick? Because in Ada County 4 years ago, we know that 35,000 ballots were cast in the primary. This year, more than 116,000 ballots were requested by voters. That's just one county. Now, granted, it's the biggest county, but it's still just one county. And we know that an unprecedented number of ballots were requested around the state. But here's the question. Did they come back?
Yeah, that is the question. You know, it's interesting. So if you, I went this morning to take a look at the Ada County Elections website, and they are reporting a turnout in Ada County alone of about 36% of registered voters. So, you know, that might be a little bit higher than some of these recent primaries, but it's still right at 36%, not especially high. At the statewide level, I haven't seen an official number from the Idaho Secretary of State, but I've done a couple of back of the envelope calculations, and it looks like there's probably 280,000 to 290,000 votes cast statewide, which is going to be a little bit more than we saw in 2018, but not dramatically different.
So what should we be looking at here in our state general election?
Yeah, so for me, what I'm most interested in, and we keep having these conversations about growth in Idaho, and a lot of people think that as Idaho grows, it's going to change politically, although we have quite a bit of survey evidence that's probably not the case. But I'm going to be keeping my eye on places like District 15 in West Boise. These are some of the places where we saw some seats flip in 2018 towards the Democrats. And I'm going to kind of be keeping an eye on suburban districts in general throughout Idaho and the nation as a whole. Suburban districts is where Democrats in 2018 did better, and it helps to explain some of their gains in 2018. And I'm keeping an eye out to see if we see Idaho follow that kind of a trend, or was 2018 more of an aberration because it was such a strong Democratic year, and we might see a bit of a Republican resurgence in places like District 15.
Well, and it's interesting because I think a lot of times we look at those big, huge races, right? Like Risch versus Jordan for a U.S. Senator seat. However, the state House seats actually probably affect us more on a daily basis.
I think that's right. You know, and frankly, we're at a point in Idaho where it's just not a very competitive state at the state level. The reality is we are amongst the most Republican states in the country. And so the state level elections just are not quite as interesting, at least to me personally. I will say that in general, I like to keep an eye on the vote margins. So I will be interested to see for example, the presidential vote margins. That's one way of trying to kind of get a sense of how Democratic or Republican the state is. So while I fully expect Donald Trump to win the state of Idaho in 2020, how much he wins by can be indicative of where the state might be heading. Mm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking some time today and talking to us about this. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Jeff Lyons. He's an assistant professor at the School of Public Service at Boise State University, talking about the primary election results. Up next, our medical experts will be here to answer your questions about COVID-19. This is Idaho Matters.